In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and it shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation to the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lady Fatima,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray
for us. Father Boonland Terry,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to our spiritual exercises program. To give you encouragement, Saturday we had a special Mass in which we prayed for all of you, as well as the directors. And as is my custom, starting today I will offer a novena for all of you who are doing these exercises, as well as those who are going to be directing you in spiritual direction. So Elvira already explained to you the dynamic of these exercises. So me and Father Victor will be giving you some points for meditation. So without any wasting any time, we're going to start our spiritual exercises by meditating upon principle and foundation. Okay, principle and foundation. The whole day today will be dedicated to principle and foundation. So what I'm going to do, I'll read the Ignatian text, and I'll give you the first part, and then we have Mass at 8 o'clock. So each of these conferences will probably be about 25 minutes to give you the purpose of these meditations, or to help you to go deeper in your relationship with God. So these are purposes, are food for thought to help you to go deeper in your relationship with God. There's a purpose. Kind of like a trampoline or diving board to dive into the infinite mercy and love of God. So The danger for many of us is that, okay, you've done the exercises, you know principle and foundation. My question is, do we really know it? Do we really know it? I think often we know it in a somewhat of a superficial way. I've been given these exercises for several decades. I never get tired of revisiting principle and foundation. I never get tired. Because it's the foundation of the exercises as well as the foundation of our whole spiritual life. So in the Ignatian text, it's number 23, so it's just a few words. Just a few words, but it's our foundation, if you like, the parable that Jesus gives from Matthew chapter 7, of the house built on rock and the house built on sand. This is our house built on rock. So this is Ignatius now. Man is created to praise, reverence, and serve God, our Lord, and by this means to save his soul. And the other things on the face of the earth are created for man, and that they may help him in prosecuting the end for which he is created. From this it follows that man is to use them as much as they help him on to his end, and not to rid himself of them so far as they hinder him as to it. Okay, the last paragraph is a little bit longer. It's called Holy Indifference. For this, it is necessary to make ourselves indifferent in all created things, in all that is allowed to the choice of our free will and is not prohibited to it, so that on our part we want not health rather than sickness, riches rather than poverty, honor rather than dishonor, long rather than short life, and so in all the rest, desiring and choosing only what is most conducive for us to the end for which we are created. That's principle and foundation, and the whole of these exercises are based on that. So that's the foundation, and all your exercises, your whole life should be built on that solid rock foundation. Is that clear?
Yes.
Very important. The temptation for us is that, well, I've already heard that, I know that. And maybe you have, but are we really living it out? I doubt it. I really do. I doubt it. So now's the chance to understand it, assimilate it, and try to live it out to the max. All right. So I'm going to take one idea from Principle and Foundation, and it's going to be, we are created. So we're going to take creation. That'll be our conference, the first conference this morning, creation. All right. In my talks, I'm going to be giving you a lot of biblical passages. So it's going to be based on the Bible. And then afterward, Elvira will give you one of my writings. And writings I give is supplement, not to supplant, okay? It's to supplement. In other words, reading to kind of fill in the gaps. But the essence of your meditations are going to be the Bible, the Word of God. Okay? Hopefully you all brought a Bible, okay? Okay, so we're going to be, as in my program that most of you have done, 90% of my program is the Bible. I gave you the biblical passage and the commentary. So, that being the case, I will usually give you so much material that you won't be able to get through it. So don't feel that it's a school project. If you don't do it, you get a D minus, no? So I'm going to be giving you a lot of material, and you choose, allow the Holy Spirit to help you to choose what is best for you. So I'm going to give you two long chapters, the first book of the Bible, and I'm going to be giving you the first two chapters. And they are Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. Those are the two chapters you're going to be meditating upon for your first meditation related to creation. Almost off the bat, most likely you won't get through both of them. So those are the two different versions of creation in the Bible. Okay, Genesis 1 is the first version, then Genesis 2 is another version of creation. Okay, some points for your meditation. Okay, God created not out of necessity, but God created out of love. So God wasn't up in heaven bored, so he decided to create these human beings to entertain himself, okay? Rather, God created out of pure love. St. Thomas Aquinas says, love is expansive. What is that word? Love is expansive. It means that love wants to share its gifts with others. So the opposite of love is egotism. Egotism, which we're seeking our own pleasure. Whereas love is expansive. John Paul II says, the gift of self. We're called to be a gift to others. Not only in marriage, but also as followers of Christ, we're called to be a gift to others. So God created out of love. Okay, creation, if we use the word creation in a metaphorical sense, I can create poetry. I can create a literary masterpiece, I hope. I can create, but I'm using something. So in the theological sense, the theological sense of creation, it's bringing something out of nothing. So when we are creating, we have something in our hands already. Whereas God is creating out of nothing. He's creating out of nothing, and he's creating out of love. All right, let's move into what Aristotle and Thomas Aquinas calls the ladder of creation. There's different levels of perfection in creation. Thomas Aquinas, who used Aristotle, you've maybe heard Aristotle, was a great Greek philosopher that Thomas Aquinas used to explain his theology. Maybe you've heard the word transubstantiation. That comes from Aquinas, but Aquinas takes Aristotle to explain certain theological principles using philosophy. And it is the ladder of creation. He speaks about mineral, plant or vegetable, animal, human, angelic, then Mary, then God himself. So the ladder of creation would be, the most simple would be that of a rock. A rock has existence. So having existence is greater than not having existence. Then if we go beyond that, we have what is called plant or vegetable. That has existence, but also it has life. The plant grows and multiplies. So if you go beyond that, we have animal. Aquinas and Aristotle speak about locomotion, which means an animal can move about freely. But then you have the crown of creation. What is the crown of creation? The human person. Adam and Eve, all of us are the crown of creation, because we're created in the image and likeness of God, and we have both intellect and will. And also, for example, the mineral, the plant, the animal eventually are destined to extinction. Eventually they're destined to extinction. Whereas a human person, his body will die, but his soul will live for all eternity. For that reason, Aquinas and Ignatius says, your immortal soul is worth more than the whole created universe. That's principle and foundation. Did you hear that? Your immortal soul is greater than the whole cosmos. This is principle and foundation. If we meditate upon this, this is going to change our lives. What dignity and destiny we all have. What dignity. Pope St. Leo the Great says, Christians, recognize your dignity. And I would add to that, your destiny, the two D's, dignity and destiny. So in the ladder of creation, we're not the highest. But in the world in which we live, the material world we are, we're not above the angels, are we? And even Mary is greater than the angels. She's the queen of angels and saints. So man and woman are the crown of creation. The crown. If you like vocabulary, the apex. Okay, you like, you're an English major, the zenith, okay? The summit, the high point is the human person. All right. We want to use these reflections to help us to enter into a deeper dialogue with God. We want to enter into union with God. So, creation reflects the beauty of the Creator. But creation is not the Creator. Otherwise, we fall into pantheism. Okay? God is not creation. But rather, the creation reflects the beauty of the Creator. Let me tell you a story of two saints and how their different approaches to God. About 1,000 years ago, there was a man who was walking around a beautiful lake where there was trees and birds and flowers. And he was totally oblivious to that because he was aware of God who was within his soul. Teresa of Avila called the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity through grace. He was aware of that. 200 years later, there was another man walking around the same lake, and he was praising God through the birds and the flowers and the sun and the moon. Do you know those two men? The first man, his name was Saint Bernard. The other one was Saint Francis of Assisi. It's interesting, isn't it? Saint Bernard, the mellifluous doctor, a great saint, the lover of Mary. But he was so interior that he was oblivious to the beauty around him. And I have to admit, probably I've been lacking in teaching this concept in the exercises, but you can find God within you. That's another type of prayer. You can find God. If you're living in the state of grace, you have the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity within your soul. I haven't focused so much on that, but eventually moving in that direction. God within. So Saint Bernard was very interior. Not that Saint Bernard was not aware of the beauty of nature, but he's aware of the great divine guest within. But St. Francis, that's what we're focusing upon now, is he recognized how the beauty of God in his creation. All right, what I'm going to suggest to all of you in this first meditation is, as you're meditating upon Genesis chapter 1 and 2, to ask the Holy Spirit what element in creation seems to captivate you most. And we who live in, as they say in Spanish, a cement jungle, if you live in a city, you know. Those who maybe live in Chino Hills, yet you're exposed more to nature than we are living, you know, in the city itself. That's why now and then a nature walk is something that can really elevate us to God. Taking a walk in nature. Here in Southern California, you've got the two of the most beautiful things in nature. You've got the ocean, and then you have the mountains, right? Right? If you're in your car, in 20 minutes, you're already there, you're in the Pacific Ocean, right? Then you get in your car, you drive up to San Gabriel in about a half hour, 40 minutes. The Foothill Freeway at 210, you're already there. Contemplate the beauty of God in those mountains. So we're in between two of the most beautiful artifacts of God's creation. Okay, I'm gonna tell you a personal experience I had in nature, because we're all different, and how this really made me think a lot about God. Most of my relatives live about as far away from California as it possibly can be, but still in the same country. It's called New Hampshire. Okay? You know, in New Hampshire, you know, you're it's almost like another world, no? It really is, with respect to nature, it's a totally different environment where you have, in New England, you have very, very clear the four seasons. Here in California, you really don't have the seasons, no? But they're very marked in New England, no? So, every summer I go to visit my relatives, and when I'm there, one thing I do is I get a lot of exercise, because I spend many hours in the confessional, so I have to get some exercise. A sedentary lifestyle is very dangerous if you don't move around, right? So, I was walking on 103A, walking a few miles, and before I had arrived in New Hampshire, it had rained a couple of days. So when I arrived, the sun came out. It's not because of me, okay? No, I don't attribute that to any supernatural power over nature, no? But the sun came out basically when I arrived. But it had been raining for a couple of days. So I was walking along the roadway, and I saw a patch of sunflowers. And I don't know if you people know what a weeping willow is. Okay? They didn't look like sunflowers. They looked like weeping willows. And that's a tree. A weeping willow looks like it's weeping. Looks like it's in desolation, right? A tree desolation depiction, okay? And so these sunflowers, they're like this. But already the sun was coming out. The sun was already coming out. So the following day when I was walking, the sunflowers were no longer weeping willows. But the sunflowers were like this. And right away, it's like the Holy Spirit inspired me, gave me a mystical touch. If you want to kill a sunflower, put it in a damp place. Put it underneath your bed. And the whole nature of the sunflower, it's called a sunflower because once it's exposed to the sun, then it can grow. Now, how many of you know a little bit of Spanish? Oh, probably 50% of you. I love the way the Hispanics translate the word sunflower. Okay, sunflower in Spanish is girasol. Girasol is a compound word. That means you got two words in one. A little bit of grammar for you. Girarse sol. And what it means is the sun rather the flower turns toward the sun. So in English it's prosaic, whereas in Spanish it's poetic. Okay? It's more poetic in Spanish. But it really explains the nature of that flower. It turns toward the sun. It turns toward the sun. And from that, I connected to the sun itself. So for myself, I have two favorite flowers. I like the rose because it makes me think about the Blessed Virgin Mary, the rose and Mystica. I love the rose. But after the rose, I really like the sunflower. And because, especially that experience I had, you had the weeping willow. Then you have, almost as if it's representing the Paschal mystery, Jesus risen from the dead. Yeah. The Paschal mystery, Jesus risen from the dead. And that was a bridge to connect me with another element in creation. And that is the sun itself. I love the sun. And if I find myself in desolation, I'd be going to the sun almost as if that dissipates the cloud of desolation. They stay there, I guess, in Alaska, you have certain times where you have darkness most of the day, right? Certain parts of the year. Whereas the sun makes me think about rising every morning, Jesus rising from the dead. The sun there in the sky. In about 5 minutes, all of you are going to be going to the church and you're going to be seeing a monstrance that looks like the sun. We have a beautiful monstrance there with the Blessed Sacrament exposed after the 6 o'clock Mass. And it looks like the sun. It's circular. It's golden. And you have these rays that are emanating like the sunburst, the sun rays. So the sun makes me think also literary license, Jesus, the Son of God. Okay? The Son, also Jesus, the Son of God. And the Son being elevated, going up, is symbolic of me as a priest when I lift up the host in the Mass. See, I'm a mystic. No? I'm a poet. No? I'm a writer. No? And a certain advantage may be over you because I have a degree in English literature. No? In a certain sense, if you understand symbolism helps us to understand deeper realities. What is a mystic? It's a spiritual poet. That's what a mystic is. A mystic is a spiritual poet, no? And finally, the sun makes me think about the Holy Spirit. Remember, what are the symbols of the Holy Spirit from the Catechism, okay? The dove, right? The cloud, as well as fire. Isn't the sun a fireball? So it's a fireball, right? What happened on Pentecost? The Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles in tongues of fire, yeah? So as we're starting off this retreat, reflecting upon the sun and its qualities in physics, basic physics, it has two basic qualities. The sun has light and heat. That's what we want in this retreat. We want the light of the Holy Spirit to enlighten us. But also we want the fire of God's love to burn within our hearts. Amen? So, I've taken one thing from creation that captivates Father Broome. Yeah? Now you're not a cloning or replica Father Broome, thanks be to God, okay? But all of you have something in nature that really captivates you. But don't just stay with the element of creation, but allow it to be a bridge by your arriving at the Creator, okay? You hear me? Don't just stay at creation. This is the principle of foundation. Everything in creation is a means by which we're ascending on high to the author of all beauty, and that's God Himself. Amen? So it's great to have all of you, and we're going to be praying for you for 9 days. We're going to have a Mass in a few minutes, and I'm praying that this will be the best experience in your life. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And
may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So right now, Elvira, do you have anything to say? I guess you're ready to give them the orientation, right?
I did. I'll have a few
moments. Okay, sure.
I did have a few moments.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. So on your way out, you may pick up the article for today and the bookmark, which has number 23 of the Spiritual Exercises, Principle and Foundation, and you may go to the church to meet you.